Hello, everybody. We are here with a quick word from our friends over at Newsly.
Newsly is an audio app for iOS and Android. It picks up web articles about the most trending topics on the web at any given moment and reads them to you in a natural human voice.
For the first time in history of the internet, the web becomes listenable.
Browse articles from topics you choose and start playing. Stop scrolling. Start listening.
And they have podcasts as well. Explore trending podcasts from over 40 countries, and our podcast, We Are Marvel, is there too.
Download and use Newsly for free now from www.newsly.me or use the link in the description of this episode. To get a one-month free subscription, use the promo code MARVEL.
That's www.newsly.me. And don't forget, let them know that we sent you there by using the promo code MARVEL, M-A-R-V-E-L. Hello, everybody, and welcome to We Are Marvel, where we explore all of the corners of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and we are also the official podcast of the We Are Marvel Facebook group. Please check them out today. If you like, we are your hosts. My name is Justin.
My name is Jeremy.
And welcome to the show.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm excited. Let's get pumped for some Wakanda Forever with some history on literally one of, if not the oldest, Marvel superheroes ever.
Yeah, crazy. I'm excited to learn more. I know very little aside from he's like Aquaman, but he came first. That's the end.
Which has more or less been my tagline for the last, like, 6 months.
Yeah, that's probably why I know him like that, because of you.
I've said it
to you. I think you've told me this many years ago when we were doing our other podcast. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's all I've known. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, he's a really cool character. And, I mean, it's hard because there are those similarities. And we'll get into all this shit. But they are, it gets the same thing, but it is very different. Because their personalities are so different and whatnot. But Submariner came first. We just got an Aquaman movie before this. So, you know, what do you do? But without much further ado, what we're going to do is talk about the history of Namor the Submariner. So grab your Icarus and let's get going. All right, there's not a whole lot to cover, but there is some good stuff here, so let's get on and get going. So we first appeared in, and I got two different things here, and this is all based off Wikipedia, so
is that how you
deal with that. It's a How I Met Your Mother reference. The encyclopedia.
Okay, all right, yeah.
So we got a first appearance in Motion Picture Funnies Weekly, number 1, which was uncirculated.
All right, so a couple questions. So uncirculated means it was never out for sale?
That's right? What I would imagine. I don't believe I have anything in the actual, like, publication history that touches on this, but uncirculated, to my ears, says this didn't go out. Like, maybe it was a tester, because, I mean, you got to realize this is early, early days of comics in general. We'll talk about the actual release date here in, you know, a couple seconds, but, I mean, we're talking late 30s, pre-World War II era, comics were just becoming a thing.
And this Motion Picture Funnies Weekly, what is that? Was that
I've never heard of it.
That eventually... Okay.
Yeah,
so maybe that's it. They were like, this title sucks, because this
is motion
pictures.
Yeah, because this was a number one, so it would have been the first title, or first issue of this title, and maybe they just decided, we don't like this, and maybe it was then rebranded as Marvel Comics, number one, which is where we get the Marvel Comics brand. At this time, they were known as Timely Comics. So they weren't even Marvel at this time. But this book is where the name Marvel eventually came from when they eventually rebranded.
Right, right. Okay, so this was Marvel Comics released by Timely Comics, right, essentially.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Nice, very nice.
Yeah. And this released in October of 1939.
That's not a real year.
Right? So, I mean, we're talking... I'm trying to remember the exact dates, but we're talking within a year or two of the releases of Superman and Batman. Wow. I'm pretty sure Superman was 37 and Batman was 38. So, you know, the superhero wave is beginning. The big two heroes.
Right.
Superman was the first. I mean, he wasn't the first ever superhero, but he was the one that really struck and started what we have now. And so this was Marvel's kind of first at bat. And I don't know if I have this in here, but I'm sure I do. But he debuted in Marvel Comics number one alongside the original Human Torch, who was an android. And if you look at Marvel Comics number one, the cover of that, which maybe Jeremy can find up on his computer there while I keep blathering, is a picture of the Human Torch in his flame-on form. And the original Human Torch was an android who was created by a scientist. And you actually get a bit of an Easter egg of that in Captain America, the First Avenger. That suit, that tube with the guy, the mannequin in the red suit, and the name on the tube, I can't remember, something Hammond, I think, is the creator of the android Human Torch.
Oh, very
and that's
cool.
What that's a nod to.
Okay. Let me share my screen with you. Unfortunately, the listeners, I can't share it with you.
No, but we might post this. Yeah, that is it. And we will put that up probably on our Facebooks or something.
Yeah, we'll have it on Facebook and on the website, too. So we'll have a link in that description.
But yeah, that is...
Jeremy will do that.
Yeah.
Don't forget, Jeremy.
I guarantee. But yeah, so I mean, that, again, look it up for yourselves if you're... don't not while you're driving. Be safe.
Yeah.
But that is the original Human Torch on the cover of Marvel Comics number one. And I don't remember, again, if I even have this in my notes, and we will see, because I took these a while back. But I don't remember if Submariner was the first story in the book or Human Torch, but I'm pretty sure it was Submariner, which would essentially make him technically the first Marvel superhero.
Right. Nice. So the Human Torch was bulletproof, I see.
Yeah. Well, who isn't? And to reiterate, this predates Captain America by a couple years.
Yeah.
Because I believe he was in 1941.
That is wild. It's so long ago. It's so strange that all these characters, big names, were all after Namor, and they're so popular now. And even going to the Superman and Batman, like, that was so long ago, and they're still so relevant today.
Yeah.
It's wild that they've lasted this long.
And that it's taken this long for a character like Submariner to make it to the big screen.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, this isn't the best look for him in this comic. He's just wearing a sweater and a collared shirt, shooting a gun at a giant flaming person. So, I mean,
well, that's not him. That's some dude. That's not Submariner.
Okay, I thought you said they were both on the cover.
No.
Okay, my apologies then.
He was created by Bill Everett, who, for you comic aficionados, is a co-creator of Daredevil. Yeah.
Do you know when was Daredevil's release? I know we probably won't do a history of it. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I would love to, because you know how much I love Daredevil, but since he's kind of been around, I don't know if we will or not. I want to... Fuck.
Yes, I know. I put the
number
spot, that, my apologies.
The number that came into my head is 63, but that doesn't make sense, because he was post-Spider-Man. But it was somewhere in the Marvel heyday of the mid to late 60s.
Okay. April of 64, it looks like.
Oh, I'm so close.
You are
not
close.
Bad. Off by 1 year. Not too bad.
We'll give it to you. We're friendly here.
Or sometimes. His full name is Namor Mackenzie. Okay. The species of him is an Atlantean / human / mutant hybrid from Atlantis. So he is actually... Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I was going to ask...
He is technically one of the first mutants.
Oh, right. Okay. Now, Mackenzie, does that come from anything, or is it just, hey, we need a name, here you go, Mackenzie?
I think it was, yeah, as far as I know, it's just, here's what, give him an actual last name.
Okay.
Team affiliations, and there are several, and many of them, I don't know what they are. But we've got the All-Winners Squad, which is the team I'm on, obviously.
No. Negative. He's lying to everybody.
The Avengers, the Cabal, the Dark X-Men, the Defenders, which is, Defenders is him, Silver Surfer, Doctor Strange, Hulk. It was a very mixed bag of cool characters, but a fun team. Defenders of the Deep, which is different, and we'll get into them a little bit. The Deep Six, the Fantastic Four, Heroes for Hire / Oracle Inc., the Illuminati, which we were just introduced to in the Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
The Invaders, which is essentially the team that fought alongside Captain America during World War II. It was Cap, Bucky, Submariner, the original Human Torch, and his sidekick, Toro. And then Sergeant Fury and his Howling Commandos. The Order, the Phoenix Five, which we'll get into a little bit, and the X-Men, because he is a mutant.
Right.
His abilities, aquatic adaptation, of course, superhuman strength, speed, durability, agility, senses, and reflexes. So he's got that going for him. Flight via the wings on his ankles, which I am so fucking glad they kept in the movie.
I know, wild.
It's such a dumb thing, but like seeing it is just wonderful.
Yeah.
It'd be the first thing you'd get rid of because it doesn't fucking make sense.
Yeah.
Like at all. Like I guess it would be his mutant ability, because he's an Atlantean, so being able to be underwater and shit, that's just being an Atlantean. But the fact that he has wings and can fly, I think that might be the mutant thing in him, in him, that, you know, maybe we'll get some... If I hear the X-Men theme in Wakanda Forever, like... fireproof. Hydrokinesis, which is essentially controlling water. It's kind of like what Mira does in Aquaman.
Okay. Is the fireproof, was that just like a Human Torch thing? Like, hey, we can't let you burn him, so you have to be fireproof.
Kind of, and we'll get to it. But one of the first kind of big Marvel team-ups was a fight between original Human Torch and Submariner in this giant 64-page special.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Echolocation, electric shock. And this is marine life empathy, which is an interesting word to use, telepathy, and control. So, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, telepathy and control, like, that's Aquaman powers. Like, it's fine. You know, he controls fish and can, you know, whatever. But empathy is interesting. But it also kind of fits, because as we'll get into, Namor is very much an ambassador of the sea. He's kind of a huge dickhead in his efforts to, and I think this is how they're going to play it in Wakanda Forever, to stand up for Atlantis and the creatures of the sea.
Okay.
Like, he's not a bad guy. He's not a villain, but he's an asshole in his attempts to protect his homeland.
Okay. So he just takes a little too far.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
So, Namor is the mutant son of a human sea captain and a princess of the mythical undersea kingdom of Atlantis. Sounds vaguely familiar. through the years, he has been portrayed as an anti-hero, alternately as a good-natured but short-fused superhero, or a hostile invader seeking vengeance for perceived wrongs that misguided surface dwellers committed against his kingdom. And he is the first known comic book anti-hero.
Ah, nice. That's cool.
Yeah. Publication history here. Namor was created by writer-artist Bill Everett. The character first appeared in April 1939 in the prototype for a planned giveaway comic. So here you go. Okay. Motion Picture Funnies Weekly, which was produced by the comic book packager Funnies, Inc. The only 8 known samples among those created to send to theater owners were discovered in the estate of the deceased publisher in 1974.
Imagine unlocking that. Just going through this guy's old stuff, seeing this, like, wait, what? Yeah. What is this? We've never seen this before. That'd be
so cool. I'll take one. Like to have that framed on my wall, I would just I'd retire tomorrow, really, and then it wouldn't be framed on my wall anymore because you know.
Yeah, exactly. You can't have it framed and also the money.
Right, I know. That's I realized that after I said it.
Yeah, you got too excited. I get it. But, I get it.
You know, allegedly Everett created Namor because he was informed that Carl Burgess had created the Human Torch, who can manipulate fire, and he wanted to play on the notion of fire and water. His interest in, quote, anything nautical and having to do with the sea also factored in Namor's creation and origin. So if this is true, which, you know, it's all hearsay from the 30s,
I guess,
you would assume that Human Torch technically might have come first. But yeah, again, yeah, they debuted in the same issue, so it's like, yeah.
I would call it a tie, but definitely the idea, it sounds like, of the Human Torch possibly was first.
Right. Everett stated that the inspiration for creating the character was Samuel Taylor Coleridge's poem The Rime of the Ancient Mariner from 1798 and came up with Namor by writing down noble-sounding names backwards and thought Roman / Namor looked the best. I would agree.
I never put it together.
I didn't either until I went read this and I went, oh,
yeah,
that is clever.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. He described the character as a, quote, ultra man of the deep who lives on land and in the sea, flies in the air, and has the strength of 1,000 surface men, which is quite a few. I mean, he really has it all. I mean, Aquaman can't fly. Boom. Yeah,
nerd. He can't.
Nerd.
Unless you get caught.
Fucking nerd. Yeah. Hang on to a bunch of seagulls, Momoa.
Yeah, you carried around by your diaper. I don't know. I don't know what that means.
I don't either. Nobody
carries
but
anyone by their diaper, but
move on. Seagulls do, I guess. No, not seagulls.
Ostrich? No.
No, ostrich. They don't even fly. Pelican? Stork. It's a stork.
A stork. That's, yes. Oh, how did
Jesus.
We get here?
Yeah. When the giveaway idea...
Let me just, get a time point here to edit this out.
I hope so. When the giveaway idea with Motion Picture Funnies Weekly fell through, Everett used the character for Marvel Comics number 1, the first comic book by Funnies Inc. client Timely Comics, predecessor of Marvel Comics.
That's what you said.
That is pretty close to what I said, yes.
Here you are saying it again.
That's what I do. You'll find that happens quite a bit when we do these. Especially when I take notes a month or so in the past and then do an episode where I'm remembering things I already wrote down, but don't remember if I wrote them down.
Right. And are just reading them, and as you're reading them, remember, I already said this, yes, but I can't stop now.
That's right. In his first appearance, Namor was an enemy of the United States, which is kind of a big deal, given the time period. You know, we're not quite into World War II, but it's not far off. Although the Submariner acted like a villain, his cause had some justice, and readers revealed in his assaults... Oh, reveled, sorry. Readers reveled in his assaults on civilization. That, yeah, revealed didn't make sense there.
Nah, no, it didn't.
His enthusiastic fans weren't offended by the carnage he created, as he wrecked everything from ships to skyscrapers. Everett's anti-hero would eventually battle Carl Burgess's android superhero, the Human Torch, when in 1940, Namor threatened to sink the island of Manhattan underneath the tidal wave.
Whoa.
Yeah. You can't do that, man.
Yeah, and this was all because he was upset at I'm assuming, Americans for...
Doing shit things to the water.
Okay. Yeah,
basically. Yeah. When the U.S. entered World War II, Namor would aid the Allies of World War II against Adolf Hitler and the Axis of Power. Namor starred in the Golden Age comic book Submariner, published quarterly, then thrice yearly, and finally bimonthly from issues 1 to 32 from fall 1941 to June 1949.
Dang, that's a good run.
Yeah, not too bad, especially given the state of things and, you know.
Yeah.
Not all superheroes lasted that long. Especially back then. Through a 1970s retcon, he was given a history of having fought with the Allies during World War II in the superhero team The Invaders. Both of these super groups were built around the core of Namor, Captain America, and the original Human Torch, as I mentioned earlier. See, I'm doing it again already.
Yes, you are. Now, what was the reasoning for having this original Human Torch, and then essentially, I guess, not really reusing him, but modifying him and putting him in the Fantastic Four?
Was it
just because somebody really liked the idea, and they're like, well, we're not using the original Human Torch anymore. Can I use him for this?
I think so. I would have to go through that, because this original Human Torch, as we discovered, just talked about, was created by someone else. The new, quote-unquote, Human Torch was created by Stan Lee.
Right.
So, I mean, we'd have to kind of go into the history of that particular character to get all the specifics. But everything I've heard is fairly vague on just, like, he liked the idea and decided to update it.
Okay.
Because this was around the time of when Stan would have been originally working for Marvel, give or take a few years, because he was a 17-year-old kid, you know, filling inkwells and doing stuff for Jack Kirby and I'm going to forget his fucking name. Creator of Captain America. It's on the tip of my brain, and it really makes me sad that I'm forgetting his name. Anyway, those guys, the original Marvel guys, you know, Stan was the 17-year-old kid assistant helping them and, you know, helping them finish books and stuff. So he would have been around when these characters were, doing their thing.
Right, okay. Well, hey, maybe when we get closer to the Fantastic Four coming out, we'll have to do a little history of. I mean, I know it's not going to be their first appearance in movies or anything like that, but
unfortunately, by far, because we've had many, many crappy versions of the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
In the Silver Age, Namor returned in Fantastic Four number 4 of from May 1962, where a member of the titular superhero team, Johnny Storm, the new Human Torch, discovers him living as an amnesiac homeless man in the Bowery section of Manhattan. Hate when that happens. Storm helps him recover his memory, and Namor immediately returns to his undersea kingdom, identified for the first time in the Marvel canon as Atlantis, finding it destroyed from nuclear testing. Namor assumes his people are scattered and that he will never find them. He again becomes an anti-hero during this period, as two elements, a thirst for vengeance and a quest for identity, would dominate the Submariner stories of the 1960s.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Namor's revival was a hit with readers, but Marvel could not give him his own title due to publication and distribution restrictions that would not be lifted until 1968. Instead, Namor was given numerous guest appearances.
Do you know what the issue was there?
I do not. It's kind of telling, because this is also kind of why he hasn't been in the movies, because Universal, much like with Hulk, kind of owned those rights. So for a very long time, Marvel literally couldn't put him in his own movie.
Right.
So, and obviously with the MCU, it's more like finding a good time to introduce him organically rather than just being like, hey, they're in this. Like when they were talking about just shoehorning in Captain Marvel at the end of Age of Ultron. Like, she's here now, by the way, guys. This character that has never been mentioned before and was in nothing of this movie, she's right there.
She was homeless in the Bowery section of Manhattan.
She was talking to some fish guy with wings on his ankles. See what happens with that. I don't know.
Look at camera and wink.
In the Bronze Age, he was spun off into his own title, the 1968 to 1974 series Submariner. Some of the latter issues of the Submariner series are notable for having been written and drawn by the character's creator, Bill Everett, who was around still doing shit. As I mentioned, he was creating Daredevil around this time.
Right.
On to the modern age, the 12-issue maxi series, The Saga of the Submariner, from November of 1988 to October of 1989, which I kind of want to read, provided a retrospective of Namor's past adventures while tying up loose plot threads and resolving contradictions that had accumulated over the character's decades of published history, which tends to happen. Like, especially back in the day, like, they didn't think that these were going to be around for decades. It was, just shy of, like a greeting card. You buy it for what you use it for, then you just throw it in the trash and it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
So And it happens with all characters. It's why some characters like Batman, Green Lantern, just have these wacky ass Captain America. Like, they had to create a different version of Captain America that would have been around in the 50s, who ended up being, like, just some guy who was souped up with super soldier serum and then went crazy. Because in canon, he wouldn't have existed. He was still underground. And actually, and I'm going to get to it later, Submariner had a part in bringing him back to the modern days.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Namor again received an ongoing series in 1990, Namor the Submariner, which ran 62 issues from April 1990 to May 1995. It was initially written and penciled by John Byrne. Unlike all of Namor's previous series, the cover logo emphasized the character's name rather than the Submariner. So this series followed Namor as CEO of Oracle Inc., a corporation devoted to reducing pollution, particularly in the oceans. Yeah. I'm thinking that I don't have the Captain America thing in my notes. I'm just going to say it while I'm thinking of it, and then when I repeat myself, I'll say, here's the thing I was thinking about. So, I want to look, because I have it. I know I have it. It's too big a deal not to. If I don't say it, remind me.
Yeah. Won't forget that.
Yeah. Obviously. The 12-issue miniseries Namor, which ran from June 2003 to May 2004, credited to co-writers Bill Gemmis, the then Marvel's president, which is a name I have not heard before, and Andy Watson, and penciled initially by Salvador LaRocca, and later by Pat Oliphant, sorry if I'm saying any of those wrong, and others, explored Namor's youth, charting his teenage romance with a young American girl in the early 20th century. A 6-issue miniseries, Submariner Volume 2, which ran from August 2007 to January 2008, by co-writers Matt Chernus and Peter Johnson, and primarily artist Phil Briones, introduced Namor's heretofore undisclosed son, Kamar.
And what is that one backwards? Ramak.
Ramak. Ramak. Ramak. Namor was, all stuff. Namor was featured in his own ongoing series, Namor the First Mutant, which I really want to read, in 2011. The series was canceled after less than a year into its publication, though. And I am going to kind of go over some of these some more, because I have some character notes coming up here in just a moment that will actually talk more about what happened during some of these things. So don't fret. This is kind of cliff notes. Namor has also served alongside or even as a member of superhero teams, most notably the Defenders, which included Doctor Strange, the Hulk, and Silver Surfer, like I said. Other groups he was associated with included the Avengers and both the World War II and modern-day versions of the Invaders. Marvel revived the Defenders with Namor on the team in December 2011. The series was canceled after 12 issues. Last thing here, he became one of the main characters along with the other Illuminati members in the third volume of New Avengers, beginning in 2013.
So he's actually been around for, I mean, I know he's been around for quite a while. That's not what I meant, because he was there very early on. He was the first one. Yeah. But he's popped up here and there.
Yeah, he's never forever. Really left. It's one of those characters, and it's one of their staples. It's one of their originals, like I said, before Captain America. So it's like he's always there. He's just not always front and center.
Yeah.
Because it is their tie to Atlantis, and it is their tie to back in the days, you know. He knew Cap in World War II. Like, there is this history for this character that you can't just shoo away, because he's important. And if you need a dickhead to be a dickhead, he's a great person to do that. So some character notes that'll fill in some of the deets of what I just went over. So Namor was born in the capital city of the Atlantean Empire, then located under the Antarctic ice pack. His mother was Emperor Thakor's daughter. Sorry if I'm saying that wrong. Hopefully we'll learn some correct pronunciations, including the word pronunciations, in Wakanda Forever. Finn. And his father, an American sea captain, Leonard Mackenzie. So there's your Mackenzie right there. Mm-hmm. Of the icebreaker Oracle. They had fallen in love and married aboard ship while she was, unbeknownst to him, spying on the human intruders. So essentially she was there to spy for Atlantis, and they ended up falling in love.
As one does.
That happens all the time. When Finn did not return, Atlantean warriors attacked the Oracle, evidently killing Captain Mackenzie.
Nurse. Dang, take it easy, dude.
And returned Finn to her kingdom. The pink-skinned mutant, which it's worth noting that most Atlanteans, as we've seen in the Wakanda Forever trailer, are blue. So him having, I guess, Caucasian complexion is... And in this, he's... I don't remember the actual ethnicity of Huerta, I would assume.
I don't remember. I can try and look it up, though.
Yeah. So, they obviously, you know, we've seen from the stuff from the movie that they've tied it into the Aztec, Mayan, stuff like that. But in this case... The pink-skinned mutant Namor was subsequently born among the blue-skinned Atlanteans. He became the Prince of Atlantis and a warrior for his people against the surface dwellers. Did you find it?
Yeah, he's from Mexico.
There you go.
That is a tough name to say where he was born exactly. Ecatepec de Morelos, Mexico? I don't know where that is, aside from Mexico somewhere.
I've never been, so I'm not quite sure. In 1939, Namor became friends with New York City policewoman Betty Dean, who pleaded with him to help the Allies' effort against the Axis powers during World War II. Despite originally denying her pleas and attacking New York on multiple occasions due to their provocations, Namor decided to join the Allies against the Nazis in September of 1940, which again is technically before we entered World War II.
Yeah, right. That's true.
After the attack on Pearl Harbor and the U.S. officially joining the war in 1941, Namor formed superhero team... that's a weird sentence. Namor formed superhero team The Invaders, I guess not, alongside Captain America, Bucky, the original Human Torch, and Toro. In 1944, Namor and the Invaders would go to Wakanda, where they encountered T'Chaka, the king and Black Panther of the nation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he has ties. This would be really fucking cool if they have him. I know he can't be part of the whole World War II thing, but if they kind of suggest that he had some sort of alliance with T'Chaka that fell apart given his death and whatever, that could be really fucking cool.
That would be really cool. I mean, is there any reason Namor can't be extremely old? Because, you know, he's got that Lantean blood in him?
Mm-mm. I mean,
so maybe?
Yeah.
You're telling me maybe. So you're telling me it's happening.
So
you're guaranteeing it's
happening. Yes. Like I said, there's no way to... I would fucking love it. If they found a way to retcon and have him part of the World War II effort, I would just sing, like...
Yeah, that'd be so awesome.
And they can't. Like, there's just no way to be like, oh, by the way, in this Captain America World War II-based movie, he also fought with a merman. We just forgot to mention it. Sorry.
Yeah, I know what. Yeah. Like, you know the guy that you only see the back of every time?
Yeah, that well, might have been face. Him, maybe. Probably not, though, because he was mostly...
Look at his ankles.
Yeah. You can't see the wings, but there's a little bulge there where it might just be pants.
Yeah, you wings. See that bulge? That's a wing.
Get some. Namor would later find both contention and companionship in youthful monarch T'Challa. The pair of kings would briefly work together to track down traitors and enemies along with missing subjects of their respective kingdoms for a time. Namor was approached by Professor Charles Xavier and later joined him in search of fellow mutants for a time. His travels with Xavier revealed Namor's emotional imbalance due to wartime PTSD. Prior to Namor's first battle with the Avengers, he comes across a pack of Eskimos worshipping a figure. I knew I'd have it in here. A figure frozen in ice. Someone whom the Submariner vaguely recognizes from the past, just before hurling said monolith into the ocean during an outburst of rage. The figure was later discovered by the Avengers to be Captain America.
Freaking rude, dude. In multiple...
Like I say, he's a dick.
Like, this is something these people are worshiping, so, and you just threw it, dick. It's something you recognize, you still did it, dick. Yeah. What is your problem?
He's kind of a jerk, and I don't remember what the Eskimos did, but pissed him off some good.
I guess. Melted water? I don't know. Melted water? What does that mean?
Solidified water. Because he would have made it.
They froze melted water.
Melted water would be steam, not gas.
Steam is gas. You know, I just went broad.
Gaseous state, yes.
I went very broad with it.
It's what you do. You're very highly something. During the Secret Empire storyline, Captain America puts Namor into a position where he is forced to sign a peace treaty that, for a time, enabled Hydra to access a fragment of the cosmic cube stored in Atlantis. All bad things. Man.
Yeah.
In reality, Namor secretly aids the underground resistance against Hydra after finding Winter Soldier falling into the sea out of nowhere and covers tracks from Hydra by disguising him as his bodyguard, having had realized that the Steve Rogers Captain America he and his fellow resistances saw now is not the man they once knew. Once Captain America returns and gives hope to his fellow heroes to find the Cosmic Cube fragments before Hydra does, Namor tells Winter Soldier that the time has come to remove the latter's disguise and help their fellow allies against Hydra and returning the real Steve Rogers they knew.
Beautiful.
Indeed.
And that also explains why he threw that thing into the ocean.
Right? He's a dick.
He saw the future. He saw a glimpse of the future.
Right. Mm-hmm. This guy's going to be sucky for a while. Yeah. Dip.
Dip. Is he a potato chip? He's going to dip you right in that ocean. Oh, yeah. Boy. Okay.
Sometime after the fall of Hydra America, Jean Grey of the X-Men would implore Namor's support for backing a new mutant nation under her and her uncanny family's care. He would lend the support of his own nation to her cause, as well as work with his fellow mutants in the battle against Cassandra Nova, as she manipulated national powers against Homo Superior on a global scale. Mutants, for those that don't know.
Okay.
Relapsing into his human-hating ways, Namor went back to concocting war plans against the surface nations of the world when Professor Xavier offered Namor sanctuary on the new mutant nation of Krakoa. The somber monarch refused Charles's request on the grounds that neither he nor the mutant nation actually believed themselves to be superior to those whom they have finally divested themselves from, and demanded him to not contact his royal person until he believed in his own supremacy. Dick.
Okay. Yeah. Jeez.
He's got a very high opinion of himself and his people. And why not? You know?
Fair, right. He can fly.
Stay true. You know?
Yeah. You're right.
Here's some other versions. And by the way, there's a ton more info out there. I just tried to bullet point it, so we weren't here for 3 hours talking about this. So if any of this sounds at all intriguing, I implore you to go to Wikipedia, to the different things out there on the webs, and do some more research, because there's a lot out there.
Okay.
So in other versions, in the Marvel Noir reality, Namor is a captain of a ship named Dorma. Captain Namor is a widely infamous pirate of the Seven Seas, an associate of Tony Stark, who pays him for the numerous voyages on his adventures.
Every name now, I'm looking at backwards and saying what it means.
Roman.
And that's just Amrod. That's nothing.
Roman Natpatk.
Not every word. But like, names, I guess I should have said.
Kratz all these Enoit. Names.
I hate you. You're the worst.
Yep. Namor considers himself a man of the sea and doesn't share any allegiances to any countries or nations as part of his tradition as a pirate. Namor marks himself and his crew by slicing their ears to look like sharks' fins.
Unnecessary.
Well, here's the thing.
Okay.
Namor has pointy ears. As we note, he has Spock ears, essentially.
Yeah, okay.
And he has them in Wakanda forever. So it is that kind of clever homage to give him that pointed ear look.
That's fair. I'll give you that. But still, come on, man. Leave my ears alone. I ain't no shark.
Well, you are now.
That's don't what he says as he cuts. I'm not a shark, man. Shrink.
You are now.
Your ears tell a different story.
In Ultimate Fantastic Four number 24, the team is surveying the ruins of Atlantis and finds an estimated 9,000-year-old tomb containing the hibernating Namor, an imprisoned Atlantean criminal considered the worst villain of his time. Reed Richards' translation of Atlantean language reveals Namor's claims of kingship to be false.
Shouldn't open that one up.
Right. One more, and then we can talk just for a little bit, even though I don't have notes on it, on what we kind of want to see, given this new information that has come to light about the character in Wakanda Forever and forward, because that didn't take very long.
All right.
Really. So last one here, in Earth X, which is a really cool story. I haven't read the whole thing, but it's super interesting, and I highly recommend. In the Earth X series... Can you give us
a little bit about it, if...
Not really, because I don't really remember. It's been a very long time since I read it. But it's an alternate version of Earth. I'm trying to remember. I'm not going to be able to do it justice. But it kind of ties all of the superhuman abilities of the Marvel Universe to mutations.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so even like Spider-Man's ability to become Spider-Man is because he has that kind of mutant... Gene embedded, not Jean Grey, but a different gene with a G in there somewhere, which allows him, which I think they could probably do in the MCU, really. To be like, the reason you don't die when you get these superpowers is because you have this thing in your bloodstream that allows you to not just explode, you know, when you are susceptible to radioactive spider bites and vita rays.
They hinted at that with Ms. Marvel, saying that it's in your blood already. It's So I mean, it could be definitely be leaning towards that.
Yeah. So in the Earth X series, Namor suffers from dementia due to the Terrigen Mists contaminating the oceans. For those who don't know, the Terrigen Mists are from the Inhumans. Much like mutants of the X-Men are born with their powers, the Inhumans essentially undergo teragenesis through the Terrigen Mist. It's this like crystal thing that they powder up, spray with this mist in this container, and then you develop superpowers. And then there's a whole class system based on which powers you have. It's kind of a fucked up system, but it's an interesting story.
Yeah.
Amid the crisis, Namor is responsible for the death of Johnny Storm as a result of an attack by him and Dr. Doom on the United Nations against the Fantastic Four and Captain America. A furious Franklin Richards uses powers to cause half of Namor's body to be continually on fire, which sucks, now known as Namor the Cursed.
Dang.
He was pissed.
It goes full circle. Mm-hmm. I mean, they wanted the whole water and fire thing at the beginning. That's why they invented him, apparently.
Yeah.
And now he is.
Now he is water on fire. Sucks to be that guy.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's plenty more to dive into as far as his history. He's a super interesting character. So I definitely implore you to read up more on him and find some good books to read. Because there's a lot out there.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see him on the big screen in Black Panther. Wakanda Forever. I'm looking forward to it, man. I really am.
Me too. So we won't take too long on this, but let's just talk what kind of stuff we want to see. Wakanda Forever, as of recording this, comes out in 5 days. Still waiting on them tickets. Hopefully that'll come out soon.
Yeah.
And who the hell knows where Submariner will show up post this. But we're going to speculate. All of this is speculation. We don't know shit.
That's true. I've partially watched the first trailer. I don't even think I've really watched the whole thing. I've tried to avoid it. Nice. I've done pretty good, I'd say. It was on before Black Panther, and part of it I was telling my wife how this is exactly what I wanted Black to Adam? Avoid. Yes. Did I say Black Panther?
You did.
I did. I wish I was watching that. No, Black Adam. I've mostly avoided it, so... We definitely don't know anything about this movie.
Yeah. So yeah, honestly, the thing that I've been kind of preaching the last couple months is, like, I don't want him to be a full-on villain. As we've discussed over this past, you know, half hour or so, like, he's an ass. Believe me, I get it, but I don't want him to go full villain. I can't imagine them killing him off. He's too big.
Yeah.
Like, you don't introduce someone like this and then kill him off in his first appearance. So I'm hoping he keeps factoring in as we move forward in the MCU in some way. Yeah, like, he's the next Doctor Strange, and he just kind of keeps popping up in different things where it would be necessary.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, I completely agree with you. I think that he will be the quote-unquote villain in this movie, at least to start off with, and then he will, you know, find some way where they both work together. Yeah, I don't think they'll kill him off. I think this is their chance of kind of doing that thing where, you know, one of the big, I guess, arguments would be that Marvel just kills off their villains too quickly. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hoping that this is where
they've gotten a lot better at.
Yes, and I'm hoping they'll continue with this thing. Like, here's our villain, but we're not going to kill him off, and actually he's going to start helping us. So,
yeah. Well, I also wonder if he's going to be manipulated. There was a rumor for a while there that they might introduce Doctor Doom in this, and that he's pulling some strings and causing the nations to fight each other. I assume, if this is at all true, which I don't think it is, that they're going to wipe each other out and he can take over what's left. I would love to see it, because I really want Doctor Doom in this. I've been preaching it, you know, since Moon Knight, saying, like, is that Latveria? No, it just says something about cupcakes.
Yeah.
But I feel like maybe Atuma, which is kind of like Namor's M'Baku.
Okay.
I thought I had something in my notes about him. He's essentially from, like, this barbarian-like race of Atlanteans.
Okay.
And I mean, it's very M'Baku. And he's usually a villain to Submariner, so I'm wondering if maybe he's doing some shit, kind of like Ocean Master, where he's just stirring up shit to try and make war happen.
Hmm.
You know? I don't know.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's hard to say.
And that kind of goes with what I was going to say, is I'm wondering if, we just watched Avengers Endgame, and we had Okoye mention something about there's something under the ocean, some explosion or something. Something's going on under the ocean. And that was it just an earthquake, or was...
That's what I think that's what Black Widow said, is that, there was some sort of earthquake or something under the ocean.
Yeah, so maybe it's this guy that you're talking about is causing something. Namor thinks it's the people of Wakanda, and boom, that's where they start fighting. Yeah. I'd love to see something like that. Tie that in. Yeah. That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
Some sort of callback to that. I would love to see.
It would be nice, because it is kind of, like, you can read that as Black Widow is trying to cover every base and is overstretching herself to the point where she's trying to, you know, overanalyze natural disasters. Mm-hmm. But the way Okoye even said, you know, we handle it by not handling it, made super fans go, are they used to kind of looking the other way to water stuff because they know of the Atlanteans?
Right. Like, we let them do their thing, we don't look into it.
Yeah. That would be cool. Yeah. I mean, it'd be super awesome if, like we talked about with the T'Chaka stuff, like, if they have a history that is eroded because of... I mean, we know T'Challa's going to die, unfortunately, given the real-life circumstances. Maybe because he's not there to play peacekeeper and T'Chaka's dead too, you know, they're using this to, you know, start a war. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited. Of course I'm going to watch Wakanda Forever, but, like, the reason I'm so hyped on it is Namor. He's such a cool character. Like you said, he's one of the OGs of Marvel.
Yeah.
And to have him finally in live action, I can't wait to see how they use him. Like, I want him to cross paths with the Fantastic Four. I don't want a movie based on him, so they end up doing essentially what this is again.
Yeah.
But, like, oh, it'd be so cool.
Yeah. It would be. Yeah. I'm super excited to watch this movie. And you're right. This is a big part of that, is I'm excited to see this. I've mentioned it before where I kind of like that they've gone with his kind of ancient Atlantis kind of look for him. Mm-hmm. They haven't just like, oh yeah, he's in a suit now. It's like they still have that culture to him, and I really enjoy that.
Yeah. So. Well, and it's interesting. I mean, it's a cool way to differentiate him from Aquaman, to have him have those kind of Aztec-y roots, and yeah. You could essentially say that this is like where that civilization went to. I mean, they've done stuff like this in the past where it's like, oh, you think El Dorado is this thing in South America, but it's actually Wakanda. You know, it's, you think this is Atlantis, but this is what happened to the Mayan culture, is they sank and it became the myth of Atlantis.
Yeah. I love that. That'd be yeah. so cool.
Yeah. I mean, we already know they have the Mayan things. I'd love to learn how they actually pronounce, I don't have it written down to even try, but Telokan or I don't know. Essentially what they call their nation. That's because it's not Atlantis.
Right.
Yeah. I'm super stoked.
Yeah.
And they kept the green underoos. Like, what?
yeah. They did. Yeah, you're right. That and with the wings and the feet and, mm-hmm. and the pointy ears. Like it's all there, yeah. but it all works.
Mm-hmm. It could so easily have looked very dumb, but it really doesn't. And I got the toys for Wakanda Forever, and you build a Tuma. Right. And I don't know if I think I talked to you about when I got the figures. His armor has like these fish bones on it. Like, his headdress thing is like the skull of a hammerhead shark.
Right, right.
And then, like, the things that cover his wrists or his shins and shit are all, they look like almost fossilized fishbone parts and shit. Like, it just looks so badass.
Yeah.
It looks like Wakanda from the water.
Okay.
Yeah. Which makes this seem like it's just going to be perfect. These two warring tribes.
Yeah.
Just beating the hell out of each other.
Yeah, so rooted in culture, and yeah, just fighting against each other. Yeah, it's so cool.
Oh, can't wait.
Yeah, man, I'm super excited. Yeah, we are less than a week as of recording, and like you said, 5 days from release. And oh,
yeah,
can't wait.
Well, with that, let's say what we're talking about next, because it's not that hard to figure out.
Yeah, not fair. It's not. It will be Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. That will be our next our episode. It will just be a review of it. It will not be the history of. That's going to be much later. Mm-hmm. But it will be our review of it. So we'll try to get some non-spoiler stuff at the beginning, but for the most part, it will probably be spoilery. So definitely watch that before you listen, unless you just don't care, which is strange.
But you should. Know.
Because it ruins things.
But, you know, yeah, that's true. Like, I try to avoid spoilers like the plague. And, but I'm going one way or another. Like, I have my means. I will watch this movie next weekend, is all I will say to that. So, it's happening, and I can't fucking wait.
I know. It's going to be awesome. I'm very excited. But, yeah, that will be our next episode.
Yeah. And we've got some exciting stuff coming up. We announced it last episode. The Guardians Holiday Special drops November 25th. Which I later realized is the day after Thanksgiving. It'll be that Friday. Yeah. So we'll get together that weekend and pop an episode out. That'd be the 28th, I believe, is how that math works. And that'll close out November. And then we got our final movie in December of Phase 3, Spider-Man Far From Home. So.
Yeah. Wild,
stuff's happening. And then we can announce what we're doing next year. If you haven't guessed it already, so
I'm curious. What are your guesses, everyone?
Yeah,
write in. So if you want to know where to write in, you can go to wearemarvelpod.com. That gives you links to all of our social media, where we are Marvel Pod on there, or email us wearemarvelpod@gmail.com. On the website, you can also go to our merchandise store, get a mug, a pillow, stickers, whatever you want from there. And, I think that's a great way to get a hold of us.
I think so. We have a lot of stuff planned out, but if there's something you want us to do an episode on, please reach out, and we will make it one of our topic episodes for the month. Like I said, we always have things that we come up with out of our arses, but if you want us to, you know, we try and do these history of episodes when they're about to show up in something, but if you want us to do a deep dive on a character... that isn't in anything or has been rumored to be in something or has already been in something, you just want to know their history in the books, we'll do it. I'd be happy to. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah, pull anything out of your arses and send it to our arses.
Yeah. and we would
love to see it.
Take it and run with it.
Yeah. All right. I guess this will be it for this week, right, Justin? You got anything else?
I think so. I think that'll do it.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you guys for listening. And until next time, I've been Jeremy.
And I've been Justin.
Bye.
Bye.